heavenly blueprint, building the house with the blueprints of heaven, the directions. Revelation 13, verse 8. All who dwell on the earth will worship him, whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Or in the complete Jewish Bible, everyone living on earth will worship it, that is the beast, except those whose names are written in the book of life belonging to the Lamb slaughtered before the world was founded. From the foundation of the world, this Lamb was slaughtered before Adam and Eve were even placed in the garden. Therefore, this is an eternal plan. The foundation of the world, that's the foundation of building or the foundation of heavens, was by the Lamb that was slain. Who is the Lamb that was slain? Yeshua the Messiah, the Word made flesh. Jesus came from heaven. It was ordained before he came that he would pay the price for sin, as he was God and already knew that man would fail God's holiness and perfection. And therefore, the centerpiece of heaven is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. The centerpiece of heaven on the throne is Yeshua. And behold, I looked in Revelation 5, 6, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And then he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. Who was him who sat on the throne? The Father, creator of the universe. And now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." And then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as were in the sea, and all are in them, I heard saying, "Blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever." These scriptures establish Father God, the creator of the universe, and the Lamb that was slain. The centerpiece of heaven is the Lamb that was slain. The centerpiece of heaven, eternity, eternal destiny with God Almighty, the creator of the universe, is Jesus, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, the Lamb who takes away the sins of mankind. This Lamb that went in to take the scroll is slain from the foundations of the earth. Psalm 118:21 through 23. "I will praise you, for you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes." The chief cornerstone is in the framing up of a foundation. It is the corner piece that the weight and the rest of the foundation rest on. Therefore, it is the chief cornerstone, as in Isaiah 8:13, let the Lord of hosts, him you shall hallow. Let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. He will be as a sanctuary. But a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense to both the house of Israel, as a trap and a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Very interesting. This has to do with the priesthood and the temple. But let him be your fear, dread, your sanctuary, and make him holy. Isaiah 28:16, therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion a stone for a foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. Whoever believes will not act hastily. And again about this cornerstone. Now, these are Old Testament prophecies. We'll look at the New Testament fulfillment in a moment. But in Zechariah 3:8, hear, O Joshua the high priest, you and your companions who sit before you, for they are a wondrous sign. For behold, I'm bringing forth my servant, the branch. For behold, the stone that I have laid before Joshua, upon the stone are seven eyes. Behold, I will engrave its inscription, says the Lord of hosts, and I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day. In that day, says the Lord, everyone will invite his neighbor under his vine and under his fig tree. This is a wonderful scripture, prophecy. This Joshua is the sign, a precursor, pointing to something else, the servant, my servant, the branch. Behold, the stone are seven eyes. What does it say about the lamb at the foundations before the throne? He has seven eyes. And earlier in Joshua, or later, it says the seven eyes are seven spirits. This is what the lamb also has. It's the same person. It is the person of the Holy Spirit. Behold, I will engrave its inscription. That is its name. That name says the Lord of hosts, and I will remove the iniquity of the land in one day. Why? Because he is our salvation. He removes the iniquity by the atonement of his blood being slain. The lamb that was slain, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, the iniquity of the land. In that day, in one day, he removes it. The day he was sacrificed, the day on Passover when Jesus was slaughtered for mankind's sin. And then a future fulfillment of, in that day, says the Lord of hosts, everyone will invite his neighbor under his vine and under his fig tree, which points to the messianic rule on the earth. Let's look at what Jesus, Yeshua, said about himself in Matthew 21 through 42. Jesus said to them, have you never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone? This was the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken from you. Jesus is talking to the religious leaders of the temple of Jerusalem in his day. The kingdom of God will be taken from you and given to a nation bearing the fruits of it. And whoever falls on this stone will be broken, but on whomever it falls, it will grind him to powder. In other words, whoever submits to the breakings and the dealings of the Lord by falling on it, acknowledging who he is and the work of God in our lives to break our hardness and conform us into the image of the Son as children of God, God will bring fruit out of it. But if it falls on us, this stone will grind us, will crush us utterly to powder, because it is the proving ground of your allegiance and whose children you will be. Let us examine John 2:19, when Jesus answered the religious leaders and said to them when he was in the temple, destroy this, after he had thrown out the money changers and the merchandisers, and that the religious leaders had allowed the temple to become a marketplace in order to not only promote their, you know, the fatness of their purse, but also to make business over the sacrifice, to make money off of, to merchandise the ways of God in order to build the altars. It was a twisting of God's intent for the temple. And Jesus answered and said to them, and the religious leaders came to confront him and said, who do you think you are? And Jesus answered and said to them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. And then the Jews said, it has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you will raise it up in 3 days. But he was speaking, Jesus was, of the temple of his body. Therefore, when he had risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this to them, and they believed the scriptures and the words which Jesus had said. In Hebrews 3:3, this is affirmed. But Christ has son over his own house, whose house we are if we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. Now let's look at Hebrews 3:6. But Messiah the Son was faithful over God's house, and we are that house of his, provided we hold firmly to the courage and confidence inspired by what we hope for. And now let's look a little bit up higher in verse 3. But Yeshua deserves more honor than Moses, just as the builder of the house deserves more honor than the house. For every house is built by someone, but the one who built everything is God. And this implies in the reasoning here that because Jesus is God, not only did he build the house, but he is the house. In the book of Colossians 1:15, it says, he is the image, referring to Yeshua, Jesus. Well, let's look a little bit up here. Verse 13, he has delivered us from the power of darkness, that is Jesus, and conveyed us into the kingdom of his Son of love, of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. He is our salvation. Verse 15, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. Here we have the validation of that he is over his house. Let's look at Luke 6:46. Jesus is teaching and he says, but why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell. And the ruin of that house was great. Here it is, the Lord is teaching. He is saying, you listen to my sayings and doing that, do them. This is the foundation. The cornerstone is Jesus and his salvation. But the rest of the foundations are his teachings, hearing them and doing them. And then you will not be shaken, for you found it on the rock of ages, the chief cornerstone of the heavenly temple. which cannot be shaken because it is eternal. But if you build it on other teachings, the stream will beat against it and it will fall, and that house will be ruined. Again, let's look where the Apostle Paul actually is teaching that Jesus is the rock. 1 Corinthians 10:4b, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Christ. Here, the context of this is the Hebrews, when they came out of Egypt in the wilderness, they drank from the spiritual rock. It was a type of Christ. Who are the children of the house? Who are the children of God? In Revelation 12:17, it speaks of these people very specifically. And the dragon was enraged with the woman. That's Satan, the dragon. The woman is Israel, or the church. And he went to make war with the rest of her offspring, who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. All right, I want to look a little bit more at the teachings, okay? The foundations of Jesus. What the commandments are, these are the teachings of Jesus Christ and the testimony. You have to do both. You have to have both. Okay? God's teachings, the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. The New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. Therefore, the principles of mature understanding of the Word of God is the scripture from Genesis, the principles from Genesis to Revelation are consistent, and scripture interprets itself. I want to take a look here at Deuteronomy, the commandments of God, Deuteronomy 5. Verse 1, and Moses called all Israel and said to them, Hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your hearing today, that you may learn them and be careful to observe them. The Lord our God made a covenant with us in Horeb. The Lord did not make this covenant with our fathers, but with us, those who are here today, all of us who are alive. The Lord talked with you face to face on the mountain from the midst of fire. I stood between the Lord and you at that time to declare to you the word of the Lord, for you were afraid because of the fire, and you did not go up the mountain. He said, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Observe the Shabbat day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your ox, nor your donkey, nor any of your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates, that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you. And remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. Honor your father and your mother, as the Lord God commanded you, that your days may be long, and that it may be well with you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife. And you shall not desire your neighbor's house, his field, his male servant, his female servant, his ox, his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's. This is very straightforward and very direct, very clearly given and easily understood. Let us look at Matthew 22:33 regarding the commandments of God. And when the multitude heard this, they were astonished at his teaching. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. And one of them, a lawyer, asked him, that is Jesus, a question, testing him and saying, "Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law?" And Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." And again in Mark 12:28, then one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, that is Jesus, "Which is the first commandment of all?" And Jesus answered him, saying, "The first of all the commandments is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second like it is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these.' So the scribe said to him, 'Well said, teacher, you have spoken the truth, for there is one God, and there is no other but he. And to love him with all the heart, with all the understanding, with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself is more than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices.'" Now, let's look at another example in Luke 10:25-27. "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, 'Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' And he said to him, 'What is written in the law? What is your reading of it?'" This is Jesus replying to the lawyer. And the lawyer answered. So he answered and said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have answered rightly. Do this, and you will live." But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" And then Jesus answered him and said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise a Levite, when he arrived at that place, came and looked, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. When he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day when he departed, he took 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you.'" So, which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And he said, "He who showed mercy on him." Let's continue to establish who Jesus was by Paul's sermon in Acts 13:13-43. Now, when Paul and his party set sail from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia, and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent to them, saying, "Men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on." Then Paul stood up and, motioning with his hand, said, "Men of Israel, and you who fear God, listen. The God of this people Israel chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt with an uplifted arm. He brought them out of it Now, for a time of about 40 years, he put up with their ways in the wilderness. And when he had destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan, he distributed their land to them by allotment. After that, he gave them judges for about 450 years until Shmuel the prophet. And afterwards, they asked for a king. So God gave them Saul, the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, for 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up for them David as king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will. From this man's seed, according to the promise, God raised up for Israel a Savior, Jesus. After John had first preached before his coming the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel, and as John was finishing his course, he said, Who do you think I am? I am not he, but behold, there comes one after me, the sandals of whose feet I am not worthy to loose. Men and brethren, sons of the family of Abraham, and those among you who fear God, to you the word of this salvation has been set. For those who dwell in Jerusalem and their rulers, because they did not know him, nor even the voice of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath, have fulfilled them in condemning him. And though they found no cause for death in him, they asked Pilate that he should be put to death. Now, when they had fulfilled all that was written written concerning him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a tomb. But God raised him from the dead. He was seen for many days by those who came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are witnesses to the people. And we declare to you glad tidings, that promise which was made to the fathers, God has fulfilled this for us, their children, in that he has raised up Jesus, as it is also written in the second Psalm. You are my son. Today I have begotten you, and that he raised him from the dead no more to return to corruption. He has spoken thus, I will give you the sure mercies of David. And therefore he also says in another Psalm, You will not allow your Holy One to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell asleep, was buried with his fathers, and saw corruption. But he whom God raised up saw no corruption. Therefore, let it be known to you, brethren, that through this man is preached to you the forgiveness of sins. And by him, everyone who believes is justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Beware, therefore, lest what has been spoken in the prophets come upon you. Behold, you despisers, marvel and perish. For I work a work in your days, a work which you will by no means believe, though one were to declare it to you. So when the Jews went out of the synagogue, the Gentiles begged that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now when the congregation had broken up, many of the Jews and devout proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. And let's further establish Romans 3:27-31. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? No, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. Or is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also the God of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also, since there is one God who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? Certainly not. On the contrary, we establish the law. 1 Timothy 2:4-6, who desires all men to be saved. This is God. And to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time, for which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle, and I am speaking the truth in Christ and not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and in truth. And let's look again at our final scripture, James 2:14-26. What does it profit, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, Depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for their body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God? You do well. Even the devils, demons, believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. And let me conclude with, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. If you believe in your heart, you believe that Jesus died for your sins, that he is your salvation, and that he is the way and the door into heaven, the light of the world, then you will be saved if you continue on in him. God bless you. This is the blueprint and the way to build you the house, the living stone, and to pave the way for you to enter into the doors and the gates of heaven and to eternal life.